Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
One of the men that really touched me, he was blind. He wasn't actually even invited to the celebration, but they gave him one and he held it over his head and said, "Now my eyes are open, I will see Jesus."
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. And before our host, Tim Whitehead, tells us about someone who is living out the Great Commission, I believe you have a special request for us to pray about.
Well, thank you, Ron. Yes, I do have a prayer request. Actually, several, if it's okay. But before I share them, friend, you may not know, what is this Galcom that Ron's talking about here? You know, Mission Compass, that makes sense. That's, we're pointing somebody in the way to do missions, but presented by Galcom International. What is Galcom? Well, it's a bit of a made-up word, compound word. Com, of course, short for communication, but gal. It comes from Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. The Hebrew word for commit is gal. It means to hand over to entrust somebody with something. So we have a commitment to communicating the gospel, galcom. But for us, it goes deeper. Commit your way to the Lord. How do you do that? Well, number one, you pray. And so we pray about everything here. We pray every morning as a staff, the first half hour of our workday. We pray. We pray for our partners around the world. We're praying for our volunteers. We're praying for staff and family members. God would watch over us and bless us. And we pray for the real big needs of our ministry. And so that is part of our committing them to God, handing them over to God, saying, "God, we can't handle this. Please help us." So just a couple things. Number one, we make solar powered radios and we're very proud of our R&D team. We've upgraded our radio. It's got a bigger solar panel now, better battery life for nighttime use, better reception than ever for our FM model. Really proud of it. We've just sent a bunch to South Sudan and Ukraine and getting some great feedback. But we're not happy with where we are with our shortwave, medium wave, our AM side. We want it to be the best possible missions tool. So would you pray for our R&D team as they go through this? Radio is an old technology, but we're using modern equipment, digital stuff. And so you have this old fashioned analog reception. How do you get, these radio waves out of the air with a particular antenna design and so on? And we want to give our missionary partners the best tool. So please pray for our R&D department as they work on that. Secondly, there are some areas in the world that we like to travel to put in radio stations. They're often at risk, which is why you use radio, because it's too dangerous for a pastor or missionary to be there, but a radio signal can get into these areas. But we like to work within the parameters of, the government rules and so on. And our office being in Canada, it's always been our policy. We don't go to a country that the government has put a no travel warning on their travel website. We want to go to Haiti. We want to go to South Sudan. These nations right now are on the travel advisory list. We need to get access to these countries. We need to pray that God will give us access to these countries, that there will be some peace in these areas, that we can get in and do the work. We have funds in hand to put a radio station in South Sudan, and we want to send a team there to do it. We have partners in Haiti that desperately want us to come down and do some work with alongside them, and we can't. And so doors have been shut to us, and we need prayers that God would open these doors. So please, would you pray alongside with us for a couple of these breakthroughs where it just seems like doors are shut for us to do ministry? And these aren't selfish requests. We're not asking for money. We're not asking for anything else other than to accomplish the task that God has given us, which is to share the good news of Jesus Christ around the world through the simple tool of radio. Please pray. Ron?
Thank you, Tim. You can be updated on Galcom's daily prayer needs. Just visit our website, galcom.org. And now, Tim, what do you have for us?
Well, Ron, we got a great program planned for our friends listening. Bonnie Sela, as she does every week, joins us with a devotional, but I asked her to hang around a bit and tell us some testimonies of the impact that their radio ministry is having around the world, 25 plus languages now, all sorts of stations around the world. declaring good news, bringing people into right relationship with God through their guidelines devotional, the reset devotional. So Bonnie's going to join us for that. But our main conversation is going to be with Elaine Bombay of the Cal Bombay Ministries. So friends from Canada will recognize the name Cal Bombay. If you're from the States, maybe not. But for years, Cal Bombay, I was one of the co-hosts of Canada's premier Christian television program, 100 Huntley Street. And he also led the missions department of that ministry. And I actually, he was a mentor of mine. My first missions trips were with Cal, heading over to South Sudan and Kenya, learning how to share God's love through word, the gospel, but also through deed. And Cal has an incredible legacy building the first mechanical farming in South Sudan, providing tractors and teaching people how to farm, reaching out in love and help. And I got to see with my own hands and learned so much from Cal. And when the recent issues and problems and really fighting and war and anarchy had happened in South Sudan again, back 2016, 17, I want to say, millions of South Sudanese came into Uganda and Kenya as refugees. And so Cal changed the focus of his ministries. Instead of farms in South Sudan, he was meeting the needs of refugees. And so a couple of years ago, we got together and decided to work on what we called the Double Harvest Project. Cal Bombay Ministries providing their Gardens of Hope, Galcom providing our solar-powered fixed-tune radios and audio Bibles, our compass players, and great success. And so Elaine, who just got back from South Sudan just a week or so ago, is going to share what she saw as they handed out gardens, as they handed out radios, the impact that friends, you listening, had. Really, it was through the gifts of you that have listened and prayed for the ministry of Galcom that then gave to the project. It is all because of you, the impact. And so Elaine has some great stories. But I want to share a little bit more about Cal Bombay. As I said, he was a mentor of mine. He spent decades overseas in Uganda as a missionary. And I'm so glad that my first trips cross-cultural missions were with somebody that knew the local language, knew the culture. I learned a lot of good stuff from him, but also how to show love and respect in missions, how to partner with people on the ground. And I want you to hear his story. You know, Mission Compass is all about pointing you in the right direction, pointing you in the way to serve God. And this is why we have people on every week to share their story on how they did it. We have several copies of Cal's book, A Life Worth Living, and I would love to share it with you. Now, we have just a few, you know, dozen or 20 or so. So if you call in or a quick email us, the first people that call in with a gift of any amount, we'll send you Cal's book. And, you know, I don't want to say a little pat on the back, but he actually mentions me in the book because one of the trips we're on and one of the exciting situations we're in. So it's true. I really was with him. It's in the book. But I want to share his story with you. That's the real point here. Someone who has said yes to God, went overseas, you know, who knows what was going to happen, but trusted God with their life. And you can see how God blessed and used him. So Elaine Bombay is going to join us, share all about our Double Harvest project that we're doing now. Again, thank you so much for partnering with us. But first off, again, Bonnie Sala, she does every week, sharing the Reset Devotional and a little bit of some testimonies, what God is doing around there. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you get involved with us in the Great Commission. Bonnie, over to you.
Have you ever experienced pain so sharply you felt you'd disintegrate under its power? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. After losing his wife, writer C.S. Lewis described the moments of grief that made him feel as if he was an ant walking past the entrance to a furnace. Anyone who's experienced loss knows its debilitating power. Every bit of so-called common sense sayings that get people over things like life moves on vanish in those agonizing moments. In grief, the first truth God wants you to know is that you are not alone. Jesus was described as a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Jesus lived as a human just as you and I do, grieving death, witnessing the toll of disease, and all the brokenness that comes with human existence. As God, Jesus has witnessed all suffering and felt its pangs as he longed for our redemption. Jesus has truly experienced all the pain our frames can experience. To realize we don't have to be alone, but can, in fact, be with the one who the Bible says comforts those who mourn, is only the beginning. Jesus resurrected from death, conquering it, and overcoming the power that sin has over us to give us hope beyond today's burdens. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, Jesus will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. Your grief may feel as consuming as a raging furnace, but today is not the end of the story. Call out to Jesus. He is very near to you today in whatever loss you face. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, thank you once again, Bonnie, for sharing the Reset devotional with us. We use it every day here at Galcom. We are honored to be able to share it here on the Mission Compass program. And we encourage you, friends. Bonnie just gave you all the contact information, the website information, to go on Guidelines yourself to get all the resources available. But Bonnie, you are sharing this Guidelines program around the world. Tell us, do you have any more stories of the impact you're having?
I do. Today, I have a story from Western Mongolia. Several months ago, this person whose name I can't pronounce received a radio device, a solar-powered radio device. And since then, he's been listening to the Guidelines for Living program. He says that each episode's content is very clear and leads us to action. And then this is the interesting thing. Sometimes I listen to some episodes even 10 times. Had I listened to this program earlier, I would have had more opportunities to do many things. What's amazing about this is that we know that people around the world that don't have a lot of access to gospel resources, they do listen to the same program, you know, 10 times in a row. They will download it. And because they're coming from a different worldview, a different mindset, the Holy Spirit just gradually teaches them over and over as they listen to the Word of God. So that's a beautiful story that illustrates that.
Yeah, we love our partnership in Mongolia. So there's Guidelines. You've got content there. We're providing the radios. And the broadcast partner there is Far East Broadcasting. And their network, I think it's 11, maybe 12 stations called Wind FM. Now, speaking of names you have trouble pronouncing, I practiced this many times. Our partner there, the founder of this ministry, is Batgerjal Tushvin Singhal, one of the first believers in all of Mongolia. This is still the first generation of the church in Mongolia. So you can see how important radio is. There's not a lot of pastors, not a lot of churches. So getting good, solid biblical content, like the Guidelines devotionals, the Guidelines teaching programs, into people's hands. Like you said, they're listening to it 10 times because there just isn't a lot there. So friends, please be praying for us at Galcom. We're making more radios for Mongolia. Guidelines, you're translating more content or getting it translated. And for our friends at Far East Broadcasting, Wind FM broadcasting it there. Bonnie, thank you so much for this great testimony from Mongolia.
You're so welcome, Tim.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, a couple of years ago, I bumped into an old friend of mine and actually a mentor in missions, Cal Bombay. And we talked about our work around the world, and we found that we were both working in refugee camps in Uganda, reaching South Sudanese refugees. Cal Bombay and his ministry with Gardens, and of course us with our little solar radios and audio Bibles. And we thought, we need to work together. And so we came up with something we called the Double Harvest Project. And 2 years later, finally, the Gardens, the radios, they're there being distributed. And Executive Director of Cal Bombay Ministries, Elaine Bombay, joins us now with a report from the field. Elaine, great to have you on the program.
It's good to see you, Tim.
So finally, after all of our planning and waiting and getting things through customs and all that kind of stuff, you got to be there in person, handing out the radios, setting up the Gardens. Tell us, what was the atmosphere like? What was the response like as you started the distribution?
It was a celebration. People were so excited. We focused exclusively on people who can't read or write. And so many people said, thank you for not forgetting us. So in our ministry, we help people plant gardens. And in every garden kit, they get some seeds, they get some garden tools, and they get a Bible in either English or in Bari, which is the most common language that those refugees speak. But a lot of them don't read. Either they never had the chance or they're older and just reading wasn't a thing that they learned how to do. It's not a part of their life, or they have poor eyesight and can't see. And my background is with Wycliffe Bible Translators. I spent 20 years with them. So I'm really passionate about having the Word of God available to people, both in the language that serves them best and in the format that serves them best. So when this opportunity came to have audio Bibles available, I was so thrilled. And so now to see people who can't pick up a Bible and read it or have to wait until their kids come home to read it to them, they can now listen to God's Word anytime they want. That thrilled me, and to hear them say, thank you for not forgetting about us, well, that just did my heart some good.
We love this too. I have to say to our staff here, our volunteers that make the radios, we believe we're doing the most important work, but sometimes it's not, oftentimes it's not the most urgent. And the most urgent need in these refugee camps is food. Quite literally, this is a matter of life and death. And so to come alongside your ministry with words of eternal life, that harvest, but to come alongside the Cal Bombay ministry that's providing absolute desperate need of food, the food harvest, was a great honor for us. So tell us a little bit more. Like I said, it's been 2 years since your father was on the program. Tell our friends listening a little bit more about Gardens of Hope, what you're doing, and why it's so effective.
So when we started, it was 2017. South Sudan was still in the midst of a civil war. The country was really falling apart. About 4 million people were displaced. 2 million of them left the country, and over 1 million of them ended up in Uganda as refugees. So you can imagine if you have 1 million people suddenly show up, it takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of effort to try to feed these people. Back then, people were getting about 12 kilos of food in their ration kits every month. Now they're down to about 3 kilos a month, which is simply not enough food. So the gardens have become even more important because now we're helping people to plant gardens so that they can grow the food that they need. They get some beans and they get some cornmeal from World Food Program, but there's no vegetables. And even for somebody like me, 3 kilos of food isn't enough. If you've got a bunch of teenage boys in your house, they're going to eat that in a couple of days. So it's really, really important that they can grow the food that they need. And they have really small plots of land. They only have 30 by 30 meters, and that's for their house, for their latrine, for their garden. So we try to teach people how to do small scale farming that provides enough food for them. So we do a lot of vertical gardening. We help them grow in sacks so that the food is growing up and not just out, how to get much more food off of their small plots of land. And we've just passed 32,000 gardens that we've been able to plant.
Wow. Yeah, friends, if you're having trouble visualizing this, go to gardensofhopecharity.org. There's a bunch of other Gardens of Hope out there. So make sure you type in gardensofhopecharity.org and you'll actually see them in action. You'll see, kind of get an idea of what they're doing here. Again, because of space issues and all these other things, you guys have solved all these problems, you know, the nutritional aspect, the getting the vegetables, the space issues that they have, financing, this is sustainable. And 32,000, like when we went into this together as ministries, we said, we'll match whatever, whoever raises more for, you know, radios or for gardens, the other one will match. And we were thinking maybe 1,000 or so. And you guys came up 2,000 plus. We're like, whoa, we need to get some more friends here to help us along. But we made our commitment, God provided. And so we got them there. So tell us some stories of some of the people then that received a garden, received a radio. Tell us who they are. What is their life like? What does this do for them?
Well, we work with a church in the refugee settlement called Good Friends Church. It was a church that we had actually planted in South Sudan. And then Pastor Scopus replanted the church in the refugee settlement. And one of the things I really, really appreciate about him is that he is very ecumenical. He works with the church. He doesn't care if they're Anglican or Baptist or Catholic. As long as they are Christians, he will work with them. So as I said, we wanted to focus on people who can't read. So he brought together 10 churches and asked each of those churches to submit about 20 names of people that were verified that they couldn't read. We handed out 185 of the devices and then 15 people that are overseers. So they go around and make sure that people understand how to use them, that they are using them, do some follow-up, teach people how to study the Bible using audio Bibles. As I said, it was a huge celebration. The church was packed. They handed out these devices, and so many of the women put it above their head and ululated and said, you know, glory to God, thank you so much. One of the men that really touched me, he was blind. He wasn't actually even invited to the celebration, but they gave him one and he held it over his head and said, now my eyes are open. I will see Jesus.
Wow.
Every time I even think about that, I well up because that's what it's about. Everything we do is so that people will see Jesus and our actions see Jesus through our love and that they will serve him. So for him to be able to say that Jesus isn't a foreigner to him, he will now listen to God's word. We did that on a Saturday. On Sunday morning, a woman told me that she got up at 5 a.m. just to listen. Heard stories about people who are playing it for their neighbors. In the evenings when all the day's work is done, people are gathering together just to listen. One woman said that her husband has now come to know the Lord.
Wow.
In just 1 week of listening to God's word, he decided this is what he needed in his life. So many stories of people just saying, I'm going to play it. There was a tailor. He got one of the early samples that we had sent up to the settlement. And he thought, well, people sit in my shop all day long. they're going to have to listen to this. And so that's how he's evangelizing his customers, oh, just listening to God's word. Because God's word is powerful. It doesn't need anything else.
Amen. Amen. This is so encouraging for us. Like, you've only just scratched, this is the tip of the iceberg of the distribution. Like, you haven't really started en masse. So what's next? You started, of course, the people most in need, get them the people that can't read, blind and so on, get them. Now what's next? Because you still have 1,000 plus to hand out.
That's right. So there are 5 zones within the refugee settlement. We've worked on 1. We're going to go through the other zones, do the same kind of thing, work with the churches there, make sure that we've hit the most important needs, if you want. And then after that, we'll see however many are left. We'll maybe just go back through the churches and expand the number of people, because that's what people have been saying. We need more. We need more of this.
You mentioned a couple other ministries. You talked about Good Friends Church. You mentioned you worked with Wycliffe, who obviously provided the Bible translation in the Bari that then was recorded by another ministry. The radios, of course, we have Audio Bible plus a radio. The radio station is run by another ministry called Bible Voice Broadcasting. So there's all of these partners all doing our part to show, as you said, show the love of Christ, to point people to Christ, whether it's the garden, whether it's the radio. Friends, we need you to partner with us too. Elaine, you were just saying we need more. What about gardens? Where do you stay? You said you've already done 30,000 plus gardens, but there's 100,000 people still in the refugee camps. What is your need for gardens?
Oh, there's always such a need for gardens. We finished training everybody last year, and this year we're starting again because the tools have worn out. Personally, I've never seen hose wear out.
Yeah.
The hose we give are, I don't know, 7 inches long. After about a year, they're down to about 4 inches because the ground is so hard.
Oh.
So these iron hose just wear out. People still can't afford to buy seeds, good quality seeds. They can't afford to buy soap, which is something that really annoys me. After 5 years, there's still not enough money to buy soap because soap has become so expensive. Life has just become really expensive in Uganda, as it is everywhere else. And so people are realizing that if they don't plant and grow, then there's no food for them. The UN hasn't even raised half of its need for Uganda this year. So that's why there's been so much cutbacks. We will just continue to, every time we train people, we're trying to add a little bit more knowledge. Just like when you go to school, they don't teach you everything all at once. You have to go step by step, increasing what you know. So that's what we're doing. Every time we're helping people, going to visit them in their gardens, teaching them a little bit about how to weed, how to make sure that their gardens are getting enough nutrients. And eventually, we're hoping that the refugees will be able to go back to South Sudan. Or wherever they may end up, they have the skills to grow food. And Tim, one of the really cool things this time is I saw a mom, she had planted her garden, and right beside it, her kids had planted gardens. Ah. They got smaller and smaller, the sizes of children. I thought that's great because these kids now know, they'll never not know how to grow food.
Sustainability. This is what we love when we started talking about this project together. We loved it. Hey, our radios last for a long time, but if you got the knowledge to do a garden, you can feed yourself and your family, sell and have, you know, buy some soap. You guys are doing such wonderful work. We are honored to be partnering with you. So friends, again, if you want to get involved in meeting the immediate need in the Ugandan refugee camps, go to gardensofhopecharity.org. Gardensofhopecharity.org. How much does it cost to provide a garden?
$50, and that provides them with the kit, which has the seeds, the tools. They get a day of training, and they get as many follow-up visits as they need in order to succeed.
And again, that follow-up. We love that you guys have a network on the ground. That's something we don't have at Galcoms. We're always looking for partners. You guys are great partners with all of the resources there, meeting that immediate need, having that network of pastors and workers, following up with people, helping them out. Love you guys. Love what you're doing. Your dad's doing okay?
He's doing quite well. He's taken up woodworking with a vengeance. So,
Christmas presents.
Yes.
Elaine, great to have you here on the program again. Friends, one more time, gardensofhopecharity.org. God bless you, Elaine.
You too.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.